Yud Iyar, Wednesday the 2nd of May, Rabbi Yaakov Rabin, to give or not to give the benefit of the doubt.
Good morning, Rabbi Sari. In Parshas Kedoshim, we see there's a mitzvah saseh called B'tzedek Tishpoit Amitecha. Chazal Darshan is pasuk to tell us, mitzvah saseh madunes chaveiro lachav schus. It's a mitzvah to judge favorably. The Chofetz Chaim brings down in the Asin, Sif Gimel, the particulars of this mitzvah, how exactly it's to be performed. He brings down a Shari Tshuva that says, essentially, there are three different categories of Yidden, which I'm sure you're all familiar with. There's Tzadik, there's Rasha, and of course, Beinoni. The Tzadik, when you see a Tzadik doing an act, even if the act itself is inclined to look negative, nonetheless, we have a mitzvah to say, a chiyuv, to judge him favorably. And of course, kol shekein, if it seems the sada shokel, or even if it's positive, obviously. If you have a rasha, on the other hand, you see a person who's clearly not shomer Shabbos, he's driving on in his car on Shabbos, beach ball in the back, surfboard, you don't have to say his wife is probably about to give birth, and therefore done him favorably. A rasha, you should be donning him always, because he's muhzak to not be doing mitzvah Hashem. The Beinoni, however, that's where it gets a little bit more complicated. On the Beinoni himself, the Chofetz Chaim brings down the Rambam, who says, this is where the mitzvah, which we see in Pirkei Avos, applies, have you done as kol ha'odim l'chav schus. Meaning, by a Beinoni, if you see that he's doing an act which is more inclined to lean towards the top chayv, it looks like it has more of a negative interpretation. So in this particular case, even though it's a mitzvah nonetheless by a Beinoni to judge him favorably, nonetheless, it is not a chiyuv. It is not a chiyuv. Only it's a chiyuv by a Beinoni to judge favorably if the act that he's done is inclined half-half. It's not really inclined either to the positive or the negative. But when it's inclined towards the negative, something which looks clearly negative, then you don't have a chiyuv to judge favorably, but you do have a mitzvah nonetheless. Now, let's take a simple example and apply that, and then we'll examine the point a little bit more in depth. Imagine you're waiting on a long queue in the bank, and you've been waiting there for 20 minutes, and then finally the next teller becomes available. Baruch Hashem, the queue is finally moving. But suddenly, a yid walks into the bank, and without a word of explanation, nonchalantly just goes straight to that teller, pulls out a paper from his pocket, and walks out 2 minutes later with several red banknotes in his wallet, ignoring the screams of his fellow clients at the bank. How do you, the annoyed bystander, judge the situation? So, obviously it depends. If we have, of course, a tzaddik, or we have a rasha, so it's clear. We know those are clear-cut people who they themselves have an inherent, constant din to be judged always in one direction, depending on their nature. The din is by the gavra, that person, tzaddik or rasha. The beinoni, well, obviously, it depends on the nature of this act. This act, obviously, does not look very good. It looks like it's inclined to be judged quite negatively, because here a person could clearly say something, at least explain himself. But the Chofetz Chaim, interestingly enough, brings down a din in Klal Gimel Sif Zion. And he takes a case like ours one step further. He says that a person who were to see an act and judge it negatively, and then go ahead and speak about it to other people, he says such a person not only has the aveira of judging, of course, negatively, but he has a second aveira as well. A person like this has the aveira as well of speaking Lashon Hora. He brings down, the Ber Mayim Chaim brings down, and Siv Katan Yud Aleph, a raya from Miriam, who spoke, of course, about Moshe Rabbeinu to Aaron, and there he explains that the main underlying reason for the Lashon Hora is based on making the original negative judgment. It's that initial negative judgment, which is the mahus of the Lashon Hora that we saw by Miriam, and who are then he brings other riots that most of the examples of Lashon Hora in the Torah is exactly based on a negative judgment. We see by Yosef and his brothers. We see, of course, by the Meraglim. So you might think that the Chofetz Chaim is just giving his opinion that he's been over on two Aveiros. But the Etzem, he brings down a Raya from Arishain. Rabbeinu Yehuda, in the Shar Tshuva, Shar Gimel Ois Reish Tetz Zion, there he discusses various evils, components, you might say, of Lashon Hor. In simple English, what is the evil in evil speech? And he writes that one of the main evils, one of the main categories of Lashon Hor is Mechayiv Umarshia Chaveve. Basically, a person decides to judge negatively and to accuse in his mind his friend of doing an aveira. And you see this very clear from the pasuk. What does the Kodesh Baruch Hu say to Miriam and to Aaron? Madua lo yireisim l'daber v'abdi b'moishe. How could they even think initially to assume that Moshe Rabbeinu has done something wrong, to come up with that negative judgment, if you will? So now, let's take the words of this Chofetz Chaim and go back to our example of the Yid who jumped the queue at the bank. So, if it was a tzaddik, it's very poshut. Obviously, we have to judge and assume that the tzaddik, everything he did, he must have some kavanah, we can't know what. Clearly, and of course, to speak about him subsequently would surely be tantamount to two of Avos. A Rasha, I think, there, it's clear. Obviously, if you see a Rasha doing something, it's, we said, the din is straightforward. It's a din in the Gavra. But what about a Beinoni? You might recall just this moment ago, we explained clearly by a Beinoni, even though one has a mitzvah to judge favorably, nonetheless, here there is no chiyuv to judge favorably. It's not a chiyuv. So the question, of course, is, do the words of the Chofetz Chaim apply in a case like this? What if you saw a Beinoni jumping the queue at the bank, and this clearly looks highly dubious, what he's doing? And then, obviously, you're a good Samaritan, or a good Jew, and you warn your fellow colleagues who bank with this chap at the same bank. You warn them, make sure when you see this fellow come in, don't let him move ahead. Just, you warn them. So is that Lashon Hora or not? That's a halachic question we have to ask. But based on the Rabbeinu Yonah, which we quoted earlier, since the main reason for Lashon Hora is Mechayiv Umarshia Eschaveiroi, since there was a way, there is a way to judge favorably, so this too would again be tantamount to Lashon Hora. It could very well be that the jumper at the bank, he had been there earlier before you had come in. He had waited his turn in the queue for 20 to 25 minutes, and he might have forgotten a very important piece of identification or an important document which he needed, and he was told to return straight to the cashier, to the teller there. And of course, why is he withdrawing such a large sum of money? Could very well be he has a very huge mitzvah of tzedakah, pidyon shvuyim, we don't know what. Somebody could be traveling overseas within a few minutes, and he has to get the money to them, and he didn't even have the time to stop and to tell the customers he had to run out to get to a taxi which was waiting for him. So there was obviously a way to judge favorably. Now the Sefer, Kodesh Yisrael, by Rabbi Erman from B'nai Brak, he makes an interesting observation, you should know, on the din we brought from the Chofetz Chaim. He notes that the riots which are brought by the Chofetz Chaim in the Ber Mayim Chaim are actually riots based on cases where the judged person was truly innocent, like Moshe Rabbeinu, Yosef's brothers. But he clarifies what's the halacha in the end when it seems the suspicious person, the suspicious perpetrator, actually was clearly wrong. The kachleiv is emes. Now, lechora, what would the Chofetz Chaim say in that case? What would be the din? So let's take, if we can, let's change our case and pick a different case. Imagine you're walking down the street on a Sunday morning, and you see your neighbor Reuben jump over the fence into the garden of his neighbor Shimon, and he goes straight for the lawnmower to take it. Now Shimon, he refuses to give him the lawnmower, and Reuben pushes into the ground and grabs the lawnmower, throws it over his back, must have been a big lug, and he climbs back out to his garden, leaving Shimon on the floor screaming, "Ganav!" And then a few weeks later, You meet up with this Reuben, you have the mazel to be sitting next to him on a plane, and he tells you the maisa about the maisa that you had seen. He admits that his yetzer got the best of him. He admits that in the end he really was acting like a Russian in such a case. But a few things have transpired since that flight, since that initial incident and the flight. Because the next day after you saw that incident, on Monday morning in the newspaper, the local the newspaper, it seems that this Reuben had placed an ad for looking for employment. He's looking to work as a gardener, and in addition, he's also advertising his expertise as a marriage counselor. Now, just as you're reading the ad for the marriage counselor, which Reuben has placed, you happen to hear the next door neighbor on the other side fighting again. And you remember, you know, there's a Chofetz Chaim, Taka, that says it's mutter to speak Lashon Hara L'Toelis when it comes to warning someone not to do business with a person who's demonstrated dishonesty, where there's a chance that a person might suffer a loss. Now, a violent gardener is not good. But a violent marriage counselor? Oh, that's even worse. So, L'Chora, if all the conditions are met to speak, to allow speaking Lashon Hara L'Toelis, so what's the question? We know also that the Chofetz Chaim brings down that there is a heter to speak Lashon Hara to exert public pressure on the Baal Aveira that he should do tshuva. If enough people speak about him, he'll be moved to do tshuva, and maybe if everybody starts talking about rough Reuben, so he'll return the lawnmower. So that's allowed, right? Wouldn't that be allowed before? The answer, Rabbi Sahir, it depends on exactly when the bystander judges and relates the incident to others. On the surface, Reuben, he really looks bad. Really bad. But we know that the Gemara in Akenis and other places in Shas relates there is indeed a din called Ovid Inish Dina L'Nafshe. A person, at times, is allowed to take the law into his own hands when he knows the halacha is like him, but in a case of, as it's paskin, the Malkum Seder, where there's going to be an inevitable loss, if you were to go to the Beis Din to ask them to help you, in the meantime, you would have an irretrievable loss. By going to the Beis Din, in such a scenario, it is allowed to take the law into your own hands, and if the person were to resist, you actually are allowed to even come to blows. That is brought down in halacha. So, when we saw Reuben doing what he did, even though we didn't have a chiyuv, we did not have a chiyuv to judge him favorably, but nonetheless there was still a way to do so. It could very well be that Reuben had lent this lawnmower to Shimon, for all we know, and it's his, and Shimon denies it and is trying to hold it for himself. And it could very well also be that Reuben is about to go away for a few weeks from his home, and he already has some weeds and grass which are getting a bit high, and he knows that having weeds overgrown can attract snakes, which could be a danger. And therefore he knows today is Sunday, it's his only day off before he goes away, he has to take care of it. So once again, by judging negatively, what have we done? We've transgressed on one of the yesodos of Lashon Hara, which, of course, if one did that by being mechayev u'marshiyas chaveiroi, and then we told other people about what we had seen, namely, don't take Reuben as a marriage counselor, what has happened here is basically tzipur lashon hara. Even though Reuben, in the end, admitted that he had done wrong. So let's think for a second. How could the same act of speaking lashon hara l'toelis, how could it have been a mitzvah, as we see the whole time, does describe that? And of course, the answer is simple, Rabbi Sai. One of the first conditions which are needed to speak Lashon Hara L'Toelis is to know for sure, al pi din toireh, that the person you're about to speak on was wrong. That he was not acting according to the halacha. When that is met, that condition, then one can proceed. Therefore, in our case, where obviously you went ahead and did not clarify, you only found out on the plane a few weeks later from Reuben himself, but had you been able to clarify and found out what's going on, then obviously you surely would not have had a heter to speak. So therefore, that is tantamount to Lashon Hara. A few days ago, I was speaking with a good friend of mine, a known expert on the halachas of Lashon Hara. Many people consult him internationally, Rabbi Yehuda Samet. His wife wrote a book, I think, The Other Side or something like that, about judging favorably. And I asked him, what would one do in a case where we just described how important it is you have to clarify. You have to know how he didn't tell you that the person was clearly wrong. And then you might have a heter to speak Lashon Hara in the Tuelis. But what do you do in a case where you see an incident and you do not have the time to clarify? It's not very easy to clarify. And right now, you have a child. You have a Talmid where it's actually a potential mitzvah to warn them about a person who could possibly cause them harm. Here you have a potential mitzvah in your hand to be taking away danger from somebody, getting damaged, hurt, whatever it might be, and you obviously can't get Levara to know if you have a heter or not. So I asked him what to do in that case. So he said, of course, what would be the heter to speak? If one were to say the following, you know, I saw such and such a ma'isa by Yenim. He did such and such a thing, and of course we have a mitzvah to judge him favorably, but it could very well be that maybe he was truly guilty, and maybe therefore you should be cautious. But Rav Samet explained to me that we have to remember that it's a very important yisayit, that when you warn somebody about somebody who's done something wrong and that they should be careful, and you're speaking Lashon Hara to Litoelis, one of the most important things you must know and realize is that the other person who's being spoken to must be a person who's still going to maintain that it's only a suffix. He's not going to accept it as a fact that indeed some ra, some evil has been done. And therefore, since the Chofetz Chaim himself writes in his days that most people, kimat everybody, have a hard time not accepting Lashon Hara when they hear something and holding it as a suffix. Therefore, he says it's preferable in such a case to shave out this, not to go ahead and to speak out what could be Lashon Hara to Ellis. But nonetheless, an answer he gave was to give a hint, not a hint, I should say more like a general recommendation. If you saw, for example, somebody who looked like he was pickpocketing in your son's yeshiva, so tell your son, I heard there are geneivas in yeshiva. You should lock your things up. Something like that. That was one example, recommendation that he gave. Now, another very important subject, which I think deserves a little bit of clarification, is we always hear in these halakhas people throw around the word tzaddik, beinoni, rasha, but one of the most basic questions which we have to ask is, what really defines tzaddik? Tzaddik, of course, there are plenty of tzaddikim in town who you can look at and see, and all their ma'isim, they know the mufadeira, they know the mufadeira, are clearly lemaifis. They're obviously, we have angels walking in our midst, clear. But there are a lot of frum Jews, most frum Jews, who I could say, even if they are perhaps beinonim in regards to most of the Torah, when it comes to Chilul Shabbos, for example, known things like driving a car, turning lights on and off, smoking a cigarette, things like that. So, most frum Yidden in these inyanim are very nizer, will never allow themselves to transgress such a thing. So, what happens if you see one of these beinonim, a regular frum Yid from the town, and he is doing a ma'isa in the inyan which he's particularly careful about, like most from Yidden are careful not to machal Shabbos? Does he have lemaisa a chiyuv? Do we, shall I say, do we have a chiyuv when we see him to judge him favorably, even if lemaisa is noita lekaf chayiv, even if he's clearly doing something which looks abominable? You see him driving on Shabbos and the radio is blaring out. So then, what do? He and his wife are driving. There's no beach ball in the back seat. Maybe there is from last trip. But nonetheless, what do you do in such a case? So I asked Rabbi Samet about this as well. And he told me that Lemaisa, really, since the known, or actually, beg your pardon, the suspected perpetrator has demonstrated that in this inyan, he is machmir all the time, not to mechal al Shabbos. So he says that the etzem we have, which kedai to be machmir, and one should always judge favorably a person who has the chesed tzaddik in a particular inyan. You don't need an overall sitkis, because the inyan which is being discussed now is not an inyan of being odom le chavei, right? We're talking particularly right now about a specific inyan, namely what? Namely chilul Shabbos, or some other matter in that matter. And you should know, the converse as well applies. A very frum yid, for example, might have, in one inyan, a particularly serious problem that he continuously finds himself speaking lashon hara. If you know a person who's a frum yid, but he's demonstrated time and time again that he speaks lashon hara, but he's frum in all other matters and he's been to yeshiva. So in such a case where you see a person repeatedly transgressing a particular avera, so in such an instance, we should know, the Torah does not expect us to be foolish and to say, well, this person probably doesn't know it's usher to speak lashon hara. You don't have to judge him. In this inyan, there isn't even a mitzvah to begin to judge him favorably, because he's demonstrated the opposite of his sitkis, his rishus, in a particular inyan, that he's dismissed b'chlal, the severity of speaking lashon hara, or any other particular mitzvah for that matter. I thought that it might be kedai to mention something I saw, a very, very, very lovely board from Rav Dov Yaffa, brought down in the Sefer Lekach Tov, which is quite nice. He explains, interestingly enough, we tend to think that the mitzvah of judging favorably and the requirement to do so is something which is, well, we don't do it, why don't we do it? Because it just requires a bit of klumkai from us. It's not particularly appealing to me to twist my head backwards and to bend over to find tzirutzim for this person, for this frum yid or whatever, beinoni, to judge him favorably. But he explains really the emes lies not in a seichel-dikah decision, which people think they're using their seichel when they choose, when they refrain from donning a person lakaf schus. He explains that really it's pashit a chisurin in the heart. And I'll explain what I mean by that. He said as follows, a mashal. Imagine a person loses a very important piece of jewelry, an expensive piece of jewelry, or an important document. And, of course, it's very dear to him. What will he naturally do? He'll begin searching, and where will he search? He'll use his mind. And at the beginning, he'll search in the places where it's most likely to be. And after a while, before you know it, you find him turning the dryer upside down, looking, maybe it fell when he was putting the wash into the dryer, maybe it fell. He'll look at all the weird things, he'll use all kinds of crazy cheshbonos to find what is valuable to him. So when you see your friend's kavod, your friend's his status is suddenly at stake, he's done something which looks questionable, a dubious act in your eyes, so if your friend's kavod is valuable to you, so what will you do? You'll search under the dryer. You'll search high and low to find it. That's something which is essential for us to remember, that it's a question of correcting our hearts. V'ahavta l'reicha kamoicha. Kamoicha! If it's dear to you, how much do we search for ourselves to metaret our ma'asim when we do something wrong? That's something which we must remember. And Agav, kedai to know that Reb Chaim Oizer was asked, Lamaitza, why is it that a Kodesh Baruch Hu created in a person a krumaseichel? Sometimes there's krumkeit. Of course, we don't believe in Yiddishkeit that there's something called a vestigial organ. There's nothing which a Kodesh Baruch Hu put in a person which does not have a purpose. All of creation is purposeful. So Reb Chaim Oizer, it's known, he would say that klumkeit which you were given was given to mekayim the mitzvah b'tzedek tishvei amitecha. That's the way to mekayim the mitzvah. I'd like to conclude, if I could, with a true story which was recorded in a Hanoch Teller Sefer many years ago called Courtrooms of the Mind, which demonstrates a very beautiful point which I think is worthwhile to take out from this week's Parsha. It happened once towards the end of the Holocaust, when liberation was imminent. There was a certain Yid who managed to hold out for many, many years. But as time was going on, his faith was waning. It was becoming more and more difficult. Times were getting rough. And when is it going to come, finally the liberation? When is it going to send the Geula? And this person felt that he was mamish about to die if he would not receive a little bit of food. And the Nazis, Yimach Shimon V'Zichrom, decided to treat everybody right before the liberation to some nice hot rolls so that they would look less evil in the eyes of the Americans who were coming to liberate. So of course you could imagine the scene. Hot rolls are being sent out throughout all the inmates, and people are grabbing them. Yeah, and he's looking, this man, just remembering, he doesn't get that food, he's going to manage to die any minute. And he sees, oh, there's one roll left, and he grabs it. Baruch Hashem! He's managed to get it. Hashem has shown him a sign that he still cares about him, that he still loves him. Just what he needed. But as he's about to take a bite into that roll, suddenly he gets a bang on his head, and a fellow inmate gave him another zit, knocked him to the ground, and took the roll out of his hand. And this poor Yid was lying on the floor, and he was crying, how could a Kodesh Baruch Hu do such a thing? He was wondering, Bechlal, is he going to make it out or not? And he's lying there in pain, until he finally, his pain overcomes him, and he falls asleep. When he wakes up, he looks around him, and he sees everything is white. So, what must have happened in his mind? He's thinking he must have died from his injury, and he went straight to Gan Eden, it would seem. But suddenly he hears a foreign language. He hears English being spoken around him. It's not Yiddish, it's not German, it must be Cloud 8. So, before he realizes what happens, an American doctor comes over to him, and he tells him, sir, obviously with a translator, he tells him, you should know that you are lucky to be alive today. Because all of the rolls which your fellow inmates had eaten yesterday were laced with arsenic. The Nazis tried to make a final killing and to wipe out everybody. And you have been saved by a miracle. You should be thankful to God that you're alive. So said the doctor to him. So one of the things I think we should take out is, just as it's a mitzvah to judge your fellow man favorably, so for sure with a Kodesh Baruch Hu, who we know called the Avid Rachmona Letav Avid, for sure by a Kodesh Baruch Hu, we should always remember a Kodesh Baruch Hu is doing for our good. And just as things may not look as they're going, the deal fell through, there's problems with Gesund, whatever it might be, everything is purposeful and everything is for the good. And just as we know for the famous Gemara of Rabbi Akiva, when a person judges favorably and is mischazik in this mitzvah, so a Kodesh Baruch Hu as well, he judges favorably. May we be zecha to all be mischazik together and have the sus that a Kodesh Baruch Hu will always judge us on the tzad sus. And we should be zecha to be a Mashiach Sikenu, being hater of Yemenu, Amen.